Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We got a mighty combination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast too.
Welcome back to the Week 12 recap of the Mountain West Connection Show. Check us out. Yeah, that's Chris there. We are back. Sorry for no preview show. Stuff got in the way. But check us out at MWCConnection.com. Same thing on Twitter, MWCConnection. And as we're discussing before, we do have a Facebook page where we do a few things here and there. Just search Mountain West Connection on Facebook and join the party. Woo, party time!
Party time!
Excellent. Yeah, this is Jeremy here, of course. We're just here screwing around with Chris, talking some Mountain West football. Bowl games, week 12 is done.
Excuse me, and by screwing around, you mean having serious discussions about these games.
Yeah, I did 3 hours of show prep before.
We tolerate screwing around in this podcast.
Wow, we want to have fun, but...
We are very serious.
Exactly. We're about as serious as, I don't know, nothing comes to the top of my head. As Wyoming being a contender. Oh. Sorry, Matt. All right, so what was your viewing? Because this is an interesting week. There was no games throughout the day. The games all started in the late afternoon, evening hours. So it's kind of nice to be able to kind of just watch whatever I want. I had to work throughout the day to come home and attempt to watch three games at one time after the Barnbrunner of CSU versus New Mexico.
Yeah, I attempted to work on my thesis yesterday, and it didn't go so well. So I ended up, watching my I only watched about 7 hours of college football instead of the full 14.
Yeah, I got to lovely watch BYU and Idaho State. Sorry, it just was was awful. But no, I didn't get to. No, the game was so bad. Partway through the game, me and some other guys, let's pop open the ESPN3. Started watching UCF Temple. And I think there, and also, who else do we watch a little bit of? There's a few other games we kind of had on as we're attempting to work at a blowout game.
Okay, I'm going to screen cap this, and we're going to put it on the podcast site. I'm looking at the box scores right now for Score Center.
Yes.
And this is going to segue into our first game. Colorado State 66, New Mexico 42. What is the title? New Mexico gets by Colorado State 66-42. I'm screen capping that, and I'm going to put it in paint, and we are going to post that. Thank you, ESPN.
Oh, I see, Jay. I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, exactly. I'm like, why are you doing that? How is that possible? What did they do there? Well,
lots of running by Casey Carrier.
start the game. Carrier, not Casey Carrier. They both did. Casey Carrier and Capri Bibbs. Do you think maybe he should have been the starter after leading the team in rushing and touchdowns versus that Colorado game?
You think he should have been the starter after, watching the last five games?
No, even after that first game where he got two touchdowns, 70 rushing yards as a third stringer when Chris Nwoke had that injury, I think knee or ankle injury. Do you think he should have been the starter after that? Because when you have third string guy.
I want to get the starter at the beginning of the season.
Because if I recall, I did some write-ups a few years ago for, I think, the when there was original content over at the SB Nation Denver, because I was in charge of the Mountain West stuff there, about him having a Illinois high school rushing record, MVP, 500 yards in a game or something like that. I'm like, oh, that's a pretty good guy. And what do you know? He sticks with the commitment, as he said all along, took a bazillion credits at Snow College, made his way in the redshirt sophomore. Should be an All-American, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, definitely. He should at least be a consideration for All-American. Unfortunately, he didn't make it to any watch lists for any awards this year.
Doug Walker has particular awards. But here's the thing. Just kind of before we get to the game, Capri Bibbs, right now, 25 touchdowns, leads FCS, or excuse me, FBS. He's averaged 130 yards per game, leads the Mountain West. Because here's the thing, not only does he lead all of college football in touchdowns, it's by 6 touchdowns. He's over the Navy running back that has 19, Keenan Reynolds, because they always have rushing touchdowns. But he's 130 yards per game, which is what, top 10? Yeah, top 10. I don't understand, but here's the most amazing stat. I don't want to screw up stats, but should we just show what he did in the last couple games? Is that fair enough?
Yeah, go ahead. Actually, I'm going to go ahead. He's got 25 touchdowns rushing, which is 6 more than the next person. Yeah.
Are you listening to the show? I just said that.
Sorry. I'm not listening. But here's the even more. So he's been the starter for how many games this season?
I would put it versus UTEP. I would count UTEP as when he became the full-time starter with 13 carries, 147.
Okay, so about 5 or 6 games?
That's more than that. 7 games.
Okay, so the top five rushing leaders in the country. Andre Williams from BC is blowing everybody out 18-10 yards.
Yeah, it's crushing.
Capri Bibbs, 14-39.
He has played one more game than everybody. He will play 13, but still.
Above Antonio Andrews, who has 14-07, Bishop Sankey from Washington with 13-96, and Kadeem Carey.
And only 14 touchdowns. Come on, Sankey, why don't you step it up?
Seriously.
Come on.
Capri Bibbs, the guy is a beast.
His last 5 games, you want me to know how many touchdowns he has in his last 5 games?
It was like 18, right?
19.
19 touchdowns.
That 19 would lead the nation... would still lead the nation without those games, or just in those games alone.
He's gone like
ham it up.
If there's a time to say somebody's gone beast mode, he has essentially gone beast mode.
He averaged 312 and 291 in his last 2 games apiece.
He
did struggle versus Boise State with 69 yards, and Alabama he only
got
5 carries.
Touchdowns.
He still had 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the question we'll bring up. I posted on Twitter, but who's the player of the year then? Him or Derek Carr?
Ooh. You know what? I'm going to say Carr just because Fresno State's still undefeated. But if Fresno State loses these next couple of games, I'm definitely giving it to Bibbs.
He is probably I think he's the most valuable player.
He's totally the most valuable player.
Yeah, easily. Well... You could say the same for Derek. I guess you could say the same for Derek Carr, but Derek Carr also has not the fault, but receivers: Josh Harper, Devontae Adams, and Isaiah Burse, and a decent running game. You could stick probably not any quarterback, but the average quarterback, make them look a little bit better. Not that Carr is nothing good; he's obviously very good, but it's just he has a lot of help. And then on Twitter, people like his center is going to play in the NFL on Sunday. That helps him out a lot. I'm like. I pose a question. So is Colorado State running a dive play every time he runs the ball? Are they pulling the center on a toss sweep?
No.
But they do have a good line, but still. Any running back is going to have a good offensive line. It's not saying Bibbs, he's a very good running back, but it's not all him. He has to have good blocking, good play calling. It's a lot of different combinations. But an offensive line
if
is where
Bibbs
begins.
Was starting at the beginning of the year, no, hands down, he would be my player of the year.
He'd probably have 30 touchdowns and probably... 1,800 yards. 5 more touchdowns, which is reasonable.
Which, by the way, would be leading the country, as you guys heard.
He, at worst, should be like a third-team All-American, at worst. Because if you look at the guys on there, you know Bishop Sankey will be on there just because. Andre Williams will be. I don't even know if the guy from Western Kentucky has 12 TDs and 1,400 yards. He probably won't be an All-American, averaging 140 a game.
Kadeem Carey should be up there.
Yeah, Kadeem Carey. Of course, the guy is people. Tyler Gaffney of Stanford.
Bibbs is better than both Sankey and carry.
Yeah, competition has something to do with it,
and
still.
Sankey didn't really, I mean, Sankey did a lot of damage to Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
Bibbs did it, and that's, I guess, my biggest...
Well, there's the thing, too, that was game one, of course, and Boise State was not very good. And also, there's a competition thing as well, where he's not playing as good as defense as that Sankey sees, or Kadeem Carey sees in the Pac-12. But still, you put up back-to-back, averaging 300 yards in the last two games, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
And then he was the reason, because this, let's go actually get to the game itself. This game was fairly close until Bibbs took over in the second half. He scored 5 of his 6 touchdowns in the second half. Hear that again. 5 of his 6 touchdowns.
With 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. How many yards did he have? He must have had over 100 yards in the fourth quarter just alone.
There's 3 touchdowns. 50 yards right there.
Yes, 3 touchdowns were over. Yeah, 50 yards combined over.
And Chris Nwoke had 1 carry in the game. This was all 38 carries. Think about that. Who runs that many times? 38 carries, 291. An average, here's the thing, we always say, take away the longest rushing yard play. His longest was only 27 yards. This wasn't Anthony Lacoste, who had 2 70-yarders and a 40-yarder against Army. This was a long of 27 and still had 291.
Oh, my goodness.
And New Mexico is still in this game. New Mexico was leading, was in this game until the fourth quarter.
New Mexico was winning this game 45-42.
No, that was CSU leading.
No, I'm sorry.
I thought to say the same thing.
I read the score wrong. I'm sorry.
They were outscored in the third quarter, but at the half, CSU was up 10. It was just a game where CSU got those 2 touchdowns early, and then it was trading points the rest of the way, and the New Mexico defense couldn't keep up in the fourth quarter, because it was a 3-point game headed into the fourth quarter. The 2 turnovers by New Mexico doesn't help their cause.
Yeah, scoring 42 points and losing, that still's got to hurt New Mexico.
Losing by almost 20, by over 20
their
points.
Their offense did well enough to win. And you want to know the main way their offense did well enough to win? Without looking at the stat line, how even would you say the pass to rush was for both of these teams?
Well, I already know what Garrett Grayson did. It's almost 50-50. New Mexico... 80% rushing, 20% passing.
Wrong.
I see it now.
It was almost 50-50.
Did Cole Gauchy get hurt? Because I didn't look up. Did he get injured or something? Why Clayton Mitchum came in? Because this is one of the games I couldn't really keep
an eye on. I don't know. Gauchy was 6 for 9, 133 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks.
They just split time.
Mitchum came in, was 5 for 8 with 116. I mean, both of those, every single time he completed a pass, it's a first down.
But Casey Carey got shut down. Gongbae did pretty good, but they moved the ball pretty well. It's just the 2 turnovers in the second quarter really hurt them, and then their defense, their offensive defense failed them in the fourth quarter. Does that sum it up for you?
Yeah, that's about right.
And also, well, there was also the 100-yard touchdown return we should not forget to mention that by Carlos Wiggins.
Yes.
And too bad only 19,000 people saw this game.
What?
Only 19,000 people were there.
Wow.
I guess when New Mexico's heading into game 3 and 6, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you one more question. If Colorado State goes to a bowl game, I assume you'd still pick Tim DeRuiter as coach of the year, correct?
No, I wasn't going to pick Tim DeRuiter as coach.
If they're 12-0, win the title game.
I'm still going to Bobby Houck right now.
You still think it's Houck? Even what if the Rams go 8-5 and beat Utah State?
If Houck gets to a bowl game, he definitely deserves
by default
that coach of the year.
Okay, I think we both agreed on that earlier.
If Colorado State gets to 8-5, McElwain definitely deserves consideration. UNLV bowl game versus Colorado State doing well. Think about it. We kind of expected this out of McElwain.
I'm not so sure I did. This soon.
Well, yeah, not this soon, but eventually.
Okay.
But UNLV making a bowl game?
Exactly. I just laugh at the notion of that happening.
Once again, the last time UNLV made a bowl game, I was a sophomore in high school in Las Vegas.
Was it 2000?
No, it wasn't. No. That was the last time UNLV had a 6-6 season or a winning season. No, the last time UNLV made a bowl game, I wasn't even in Las Vegas yet. Yeah. It was 2000. Purdue made a Rose Bowl.
Drew Brees. He'll never be an NFL quarterback. Yeah, right, guys. That's right, because I'm looking right here. They were, I want to make sure, I know it's correct. I'm not doubting you, but why don't they list bowl game here? They have final ranking. I'm on Wikipedia. They have, like, overall record, conference, coach, final ranking, but no bowl game. You think that would be more than a, you would think, than a bowl game? You know what I mean?
That's kind of give a clue.
Yeah, 2000 is the last 20 record. Oh, here it is. Yeah. 2000, they're 8-5. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. It's right below 8-5, man. Wow. All right, let's move on. Let's go to the next game because UNLV did not play this week. Capri Bibbs. Okay, we already mentioned. He's not going to get a Heisman run. If he's going to stay next year, because he's a redshirt sophomore, he technically could leave for the NFL. Probably not going to happen.
He won't.
But
definitely Heisman dark horse next year.
Also, we failed to give Garrett Grayson his proper dues in this game.
Yes. Grayson deserves quite a bit of credit.
3 touchdowns, 300 yards, 20 of 28. There you go.
Very good job, Grayson.
Good job. No, they're
doing. If you continue that, is he a senior this year?
I don't think so. Let me check really quick. I think he's a junior if I'm right.
Yeah, he's a junior. He's got one more year left. Yeah. Grayson will be among, if Grayson hangs around, he'll be one of the Mountain West top quarterbacks to look out for next year.
All right. That's next year. Let's get back to this year. Your Boise State Broncos are trying to go step for step with Fresno State.
And they did a pretty damn good job.
Did you like Matt Miller's juggling catch for a touchdown?
Yes. That catch was not as good as the Auburn-Georgia catch. And if none of you know what I'm talking about.
Why are you listening? Stop the show and go Google that.
Go Google that right now. Because, like, just press the show on pause, go watch that, and come back. Because I'm not going to describe it. It was just too beautiful.
Yeah,
I would only ruin it.
It was nice, yes. All right. 48-7 was the final score. Wyoming, what happened? I say this every week, but I don't know what happened.
They took a 7-0 lead, and then...
It was like last week. 10-0?
They took a 10-0 lead.
Well, I mean, similar thing.
Yeah, no, exactly. So very similar.
Is this just Boise State's defense? Is that good, do you think? Because they played pretty good, I thought. They made some good improvement on tackling, I saw.
Well, Boise forced 4...
Turnovers. Well, Boise gave it up 3 times himself, but...
They gave him up 3 times themselves.
But the main thing, they doubled up...
This came out strong because they forced those 2 fumbles.
Yeah, they doubled up the offense, the Wyoming offense.
But, I mean, 3rd down efficiency, 5 for 15.
Well, we had to do that many times. Oh, 4 and 4th down. I don't know this.
We're penalized less than Boise State. 4 penalties.
I'm starting to think you're correct on this, that Dave Christensen is very close to being relieved of his duties at the end of the season.
Oh, totally.
Because if you look at these games, we don't discuss the game too much. Boise State played very well, except I do like how they referred back to the – did you see the Oklahoma highlights?
Yes.
Of the Fiesta Bowl? It's like, come on, guys.
We're like 10 years.
Choose a different drink, Pay. Show one
six,
of them, not both.
6 or 7 years. 8 years. 8 years. Holy smokes.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Losses, Texas State 42-21, Colorado State 52-22, San Jose State 51-44. That's close, but a lot of points. Fresno 48-10, Boise 48-7. They're not even competitive in 4 of their 5 losses, or 3 of their, yeah.
Colorado, no, they're not at all.
Two of their losses, they've been competitive. Nebraska.
If I'm correct, the games have started out the same. Wyoming has started out hot and then just lost it.
Yeah, because the Colorado State game, I remember watching that game. Was it 21 apiece or something like that? It was. No, that game wasn't actually that close. It was 24-7 at the half. So that game wasn't really close. Or them starting off good, but I honestly don't know what the deal is. They have talent. People like Brett Smith. They have Robert Heron, who's a good wide receiver. Dominic Ruffin's pretty good, above average. He had 135 in this game. That 71-yard touchdown pass was pretty nice. Or no, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong box score. I apologize. I had the wrong game up.
After the fast start, just the offense completely sputtered. Completely.
They did get $500,000 for this game. Does that make it look any better for them to help buy out Dave Christensen?
How'd they get $500,000?
They're on ESPN 2.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
Saturday.
Yeah. No, don't give that money to Dave Christensen.
No, the buyout. They got to pay it. They got to pay buyouts out there hoping.
I know. Don't give it to him.
Fire him with
cars. But it's like something like, stadium upgrades or better gyms or something like that. Get your recruiting on track.
I don't know. Did you also read Stephen Godfrey's piece about Wyoming?
Yes.
And that's
my other reason why I don't think that Christensen's not going to last the end of the year. Because of his whole conversation with athletic director.
Yeah, because also, wasn't the president, I got to look this up. I remember there's some meeting. Wasn't the president, is he resigning or something? There's something.
Yeah.
Wasn't that something just the other day?
Something like that.
There's a guy who, the guys who cover the Wyoming, like, there's this meeting going on or something. About some closed door media hanger. I forgot what he said. I meant to bring it up, but it's like on Tuesday. Yeah. President, he abruptly resigns after 4 months, the president resigns. And so Robert Sterbing, president of Wyoming, since July, announced his resignation Thursday in a release statement where he says, I care a great deal about this university, and I've come to realize that as wonderful as this University of Wyoming is, it may not be the best fit for me as president. So I tendered my resignation today to the Board of Trustees.
Do we know why he resigned?
Yeah, why?
Oh, I'm asking you.
No, I don't know. I doesn't really. There's time. I'm just kind of reading this from this higher education website. During his time in office,
Is it the Chronicle?
No, Inside Higher Ed.
Oh, I know that website.
During you should academic type you are.
It should, before I go my job searching.
Yeah. it says here, during his time in office, Sternberg has pushed for a change in the senior administrative ranks, and three deans and five other administrators have left their positions.
So, yeah, you know, that's not a good sign.
Turnover in any, doesn't matter, academic, teachers, deans, whatever.
That's not a good
sign.
Yeah. If you're having that kind of turnover, you're not doing your job.
Also part of it.
Anyway, back to the game.
Well, also... Mention what Godfrey mentioned when we spoke about the study they did about Wyoming athletics. Do you have that offhand?
No, I don't have it on me.
It was something about there'll be, I think, myriad, and there'll be a myriad of mediocrity, I think, for the foreseeable future, something like that. Is that right?
Yeah. It's just this full consistency of being completely inconsistent and being okay. Athletic director doesn't really want to tolerate that.
Yeah, you want to at least be above average. You can tolerate at their position. They should be what they're doing, where they should be competitive for bowl game every couple of years, because they've had that history. They've had that 10-2 season back in '96 where there was not many bowl games. They got shut out because they lost two whack.
Really, the talent they have though, they should have been at bowl eligibility by now.
Yeah, they and at the beginning of the year they looked like they would have been 4-6. What did they start? 4-1.
Yeah.
Let me see. Yeah, they started off.
It should have beat Nebraska.
They had a lot of chances. Yeah, they started 3-1. Okay, we figured, the Texas State game, whatever. It's kind of a, who knows. They started off hot versus New Mexico. New Mexico came back. They still held on. But since then, I don't know what their deal is, but I seriously think, you're not just losing, you're getting blown out. You shouldn't be getting blown out in your fifth year. You can't blame the defensive coordinator.
You're getting blown out a la UNLV style.
Pretty much. And you can't blame anybody else but yourself. You got rid of the defensive coordinator. You run the offense. What's next? The head coach. Right? Here's the thing. They play Hawaii and Utah State. If they lose to Hawaii, is he going to... Okay, good thing it's at home. But if they lose to Hawaii at home...
He's out.
Will they hand him the pink slip right then? Right then?
Yeah.
Okay. I could be there with you.
Well, no. Let him finish up the Utah State. But he's out.
You think they'll say he's out but coach the last game of the year?
Something
one
like
of those
that.
Deals. It's, I don't know, man. It's like, come on, you gotta, I don't know what their deal is.
So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to bring it back to the Boise State
Let's talk about Boise State because they are.
This is an extremely, as many injuries as we've had this year, this is a fairly, I like how deep this team is going. Hedrick, okay. Obviously 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, and the pick was really bad.
Yeah.
Addy came in with a little bit. What?
No, I said it. What? It was a bad one. Yes.
Sorry. Yeah. Remember this name for the future. Outside of Aaron Baltazar, how about Devon Demas? 12 carries, 73 yards.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Ajayi, 11 for 70. I mean, there was a lot of balance. You had Chris Bertoli coming in there at the end. Nick Patty, 3 rushes for 23 yards. I mean, this team, you're going to see a lot of field position battles next season.
Well, assuming Boise wins out, because they have to win out to go to the title game. If they lose and Utah State wins, they don't get to go to the title game. And the San Diego State game next week could be fairly interesting. Maybe. Has a chance to be. But assuming they can win through that, we've already discussed pre-show. What do you feel like? What's your feeling on if it's a Fresno-Boise State rematch?
Right now?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be another one-point game, except I think it might favor Boise State in this case.
Why would that? What's different? What's the difference you're seeing?
Well, I think the difference I'm seeing is the defense is cracking down. They're not missing their assignments anymore. I think the offense is coming together a little bit better. The team, despite Southwick going down, and Southwick might be back for the championship game.
Would you want him back?
Ooh.
Because a broken ankle is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure.
Because he broke that, what did he break it versus Nevada?
Well, I don't know, but I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, especially all my rants on Twitter about safety as well.
Yeah.
For him to be back, he has to be 100%.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm not saying you want him back because of you think he's better than Hedrick, but there's a few reasons. You want him back because he's going to be obviously health-wise, and also he's been gone for at least, 6 weeks, whatever it'll be, because he hurt the ankle on October 19th. That's 7 weeks. Or, wait, November... 6.5, 7 weeks from that ankle injury. Is he rushed? How soon can he be practicing before? Because you don't want, okay, he's healthy the week of the game. You haven't practiced how long? How many reps are you going to really give him? How sharp can he be if he's healthy? I think Chris Peterson is smart enough to go with who he has.
Yeah.
Even if he comes back for senior day, which is versus New Mexico.
Well.
And yeah, Hendrick, after the...
minus the BYU game.
Debacle of BYU, where he just was... It was just all around a bad effort on everybody, and they still somehow managed to keep the game close throughout.
Yeah. I feel a little bit better about playing Fresno in the championship game.
Okay. With your Boise State, kind of, just because that's your team, this is one game where they finally somewhat short up their tackling. Watching them play the past three games outside of Wyoming, they had a lot of issues tackling anybody. And if Fresno's running game does pick up as it has been, I think that could be a difference. If Boise State can tackle, they'll be fine. If they're missing tackles, arm tackling Josh Quezada or whoever, they're going to be in for a long day, I think.
But, I mean, even all around, look at the special teams. I mean, mm-hmm. Dan Goodale, he knocked a 47-yarder. He was 2 for 2 on field goals. He knocked a 47-yarder, which was possibly the longest field goal that a Boise State kicker has made since probably Kyle Brotsman.
Could be, yes.
Could be.
Has been sketchy for a while.
Yeah. Trevor Harmon did his job. 2 punts for 51.5 yards average, both landing inside the 20. Everything is clicking right now. That's why I think that I like Boise State's chances in the championship game.
Okay. Well, I get you. I'm starting to say it's going to be a better game than what that first one was, but I see your point. They're locking a few things down. All right. Next game is not the Hawaii game. What was the other game?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Coach Polian being overconfident that he created the earth.
God. You know what? Great job to Coach Polian for, coming out, defeating San Jose State. Great job for Coach Polian thanking everybody, all the fans who came out despite their crappy season. But here is the quote that gets me. Here we go. Ready? This is a thank you, Chris Murray at the Reno Gazette Journal for taking the quotes on here. I think there's a video of this too. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Here we go. What you saw tonight is my vision. The ability to run it effectively and ability to take shots down the field. It's like Pullian hasn't watched Nevada football for the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, he has been preoccupied being an Notre Dame and Texas A&M.
I'm sorry. It's not like Chris Alt didn't invent the pistol. It's not like they didn't have Colin Kaepernick, who was just absolutely dominating. Or Vaitaua.
Yeah, I heard that. You told me that before. So I'm like, interesting. That is not...
You cannot take credit about this being your vision. This is your first time head coach. You did not change the system at all. They still run the pistol. They still have the same defensive coordinator who's still running the same defense. They still have the same offensive coordinator. This is not your vision. This is you kind of babysitting and learning how to coach. You do not get to say that this is my vision.
That's correct. He's never been a head coach. He's never been a coordinator at any level. He's always been, besides the special teams coordinator and recruiting guru.
Once again, this is not to take away from Nevada's win. Great job, Nevada, for actually beating a San Jose State team who's borderline bowl eligibility and ruining things for them. And snapping that 5-game winning streak or losing streak. Because you know what? Nevada needed that win.
Yeah.
Nevada needed that win to avoid them looking like Chris Tormey's Nevada Wolfpack team from 2003. And guess what? I'm about to compare Pullian to Chris Tormey because I think his coaching style is very similar.
Wow. Bring out the gloves.
And look what happened to Chris Tormey earlier this season.
Yeah, got the accent. Well, it means D-coordinator. As for this game, it was a combo effort. It wasn't just the offense doing well. The defense actually showed up.
Defense showed up.
A shutout in the second half.
I mean, it was great. Hey, rock hacking.
Of course.
Looking good.
The mullet attacking everybody. But David Fells for San Jose State played well, 326. But nothing in the second half. They 0 points in the second half. And while Nevada rolled out 17 points, pretty much by the time the fourth quarter started, the game was over. It was 35-16.
Oh, yeah, totally. Fales got sacked 4 times.
Yeah, he gets sacked.
That 7-15 for Nevada showed up.
And then just looking at the fourth quarter, they had, okay, red zone woes again for San Jose State. Their first drive in the fourth quarter, they started their own 6-yard line. The drive stalled at the Nevada 4-yard line. You want to see what their plays are? They get first and goal at the 4-yard line. It's like, all right, we're going to get this. First down, pass, incomplete. Second down, rush for no loss. Third down, incomplete pass. Fourth and goal, they get to go for it to try to make it a 12-point game. Fourth and goal, incomplete pass. And you know what Nevada does? They go down and kick a field goal. They move the ball. Field goal. It's like, you go all the way down the field, you can't get 4 yards. And after that, the rest of the game, in the fourth quarter, San Jose State went 3 and out. Their next two
positions. Yeah, Nevada's rushing. Hey, Fajardo, back to 100% health. I mean, look at him, 14 carries, 140 yards.
But they had no other running back, though. Well, no, can't say
no,
that.
No, Cannon Brock looked good.
Well, Brock and Jackson combined for a good day.
Yeah, I think Brock and Jackson are turning into more of a 1A, 1B back. Which I'm fine with.
I'm fine with it. So San Jose State's still looking for that sixth win. And they still have to play Fresno State. I assuming, do you think they're going to get that versus Navy on Friday night?
I think they'll most likely get it versus Navy.
Get that versus Navy. All right, so let's move on. Final game. Wow, final game. That was quick.
I'm very confused because now Navy's bowl eligible and San Jose State's not.
And Navy's already accepted their bowl berth to play a Mountain West team in the Armed Forces Bowl, I want to say.
Have they?
I know they accepted it. I know it's a Mountain West team, but I'm not sure where it's at. I think it's Armed Forces Bowl. So I guess they're taking Navy over any Conference USA team that can make it. So, okay, the final game of the day, which you were unable to see the glory that was the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors uniform.
Oh, Hawaii, why did you not win this game? I saw, if you guys missed my tweet.
Overtime.
I said that if Hawaii won this game, they are never allowed to change their uniforms except wear these rainbow uniforms the whole time.
So close.
So close.
Do we know to put them, you know what to put them over the top in this game?
What?
You know the helmets were just white? No Rainbow Warrior, no Hawaii, anything on the helmet. Just a white with
no,
a green stripe. Nothing. Just a green stripe down the middle. If they had some sort of, like they used to have the H and the kind of the rainbow, that wouldn't that have putting them over the edge to beat the Aztecs?
Maybe. They had the lead for most of this game. I'm sorry. Okay. San Diego State, you guys are now bowl eligible.
Congratulations.
But seriously, you were losing the whole game.
And do you know how they got that first touchdown? Did you happen to read up on how that happened?
What?
Did you happen to read up on how they got their first touchdown of the game?
No.
Third and two, an offsides play where everybody kind of just stopped and Kaler just tossed it up to Locke and he went 56 yards for the touchdown. So basically a free play that went for a touchdown, where a lot of the defense linemen kind of just stopped because they assumed it was a false start when it was actually...
They tied up the game with 2:34 left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii was winning basically consistently throughout that whole time.
Yeah, I watched most of this game, and Hawaii was moving the ball well. Joey Oyosafa is actually a very good running back when he's not playing on a fractured foot. Had 150 yards. And Adam Moema did the same thing for the other side. They did well, but it just that last drive... San Diego State went down and scored, and your buddy Sheamus did not miss an extra point.
No, but he did not attempt a field goal either.
No, and
Sheamus, maybe Sheamus, we have to take Sheamus. Did not attempt a field goal tonight, and that's possibly also the reason why the 31
could be in there. Mentioned all night, like this guy struggled all year. It's his extra points or no gimmies. Every touchdown, they said that every time. But it doesn't help where in overtime the San Diego State defense stepped up and sacked Schroeder for a 10-yard loss on second down. And then the next two passing plays, incomplete, game over. Adam Moema, well, let me back up. San Diego State got the ball first. Moema took three rushes, touchdown, bam, game over. Hawaii's 0-10. Do we need to ask the obligatory Norm Chow question, quit or fired? Or excuse me, resigned, fired, or pushed out?
I'm going to say resign. I'm still saying resign. Not like forced out resign.
He's like, I'm done with this. I'm just going to.
I think they could beat Army.
That's the only one I think they have left on the schedule is Army.
Which they could beat Wyoming, too.
It's at Wyoming, though. That's why I'm not too confident.
They almost beat UNLV at UNLV.
But they play them a lot, and that's a known opponent.
But it's a known opponent for Hawaii and Wyoming. They only had a trophy.
Isn't that the lost trophy?
Yes, the Puniaho trophy.
Well, yes, okay, they do have that, but UNLV kept the game going.
Or sorry, Paniolo trophy.
Whatever.
Sorry.
But what I'm saying is UNLV has played them beyond the Mountain West days. I know Wyoming played them in the WAC, but when the new Mountain West came about, UNLV kept playing Hawaii. That's all I'm saying.
Can we please have a trophy again? Can we get the Paniolo trophy back?
What does it look like? Should we just Google it and say, go to a craft store and say, can you make this for us?
It's exactly what it is. He's like, dude.
So, I don't know what it looks like. That's what I'm asking.
You seriously don't know what it looks like? Google search it.
How do you spell it?
Paniolo. Paniolo trophy.
Okay. This is great radio here.
Yeah, you're getting a spelling lesson.
Well, here's our good friend Matt. First thing on my Google search is the case of the missing Paniolo trophy by cowboyaltitude.com. Let's see here.
Hi, Matt.
Matt, where's your photo? That would have been helpful. It had a broken leg a couple years ago.
Photo there. Google image search.
I know. Hold on. I see. Just a cowboy?
Yeah, with the lasso.
Is Paniolo a Hawaiian term for cowboy?
Yes.
You could have just told me that, and I would have figured it out by context. Come on.
No! You should have figured it out.
Come on.
Absolutely not.
You're the worst. I'm like, jeez.
Can we have those uniforms permanently still, though, Hawaii? Please?
Do something.
Just put a Surfing Hawaiian logo on it.
Did you saw the photo on Twitter I put about the most Hawaiian photo ever?
Yes.
That was amazing, though. Guy, a running back or something down the line with the mascot wearing a... Well, most Hawaiian people...
Pack
Well, it wasn't him. He had a costume on top. That wasn't him.
Oh, I know. I know. I've seen that before.
Yeah, I just saw that. So, yeah, it needs to be put in there some sort of at least once a year, at least. I'm assuming with the Rainbow Warrior theme coming back, they need to have some sort of something. You know what I mean? It has to be something along the lines like that, correct?
Yeah.
Cause, and the people who are saying about the overtures of a sexual orientation need to grow up.
Seriously.
Come on. Who cares? Who cares? Wait, whatever you think about it, who cares?
Those are damn awesome uniforms.
Yes. And think of and we already meant we pimped the guy on the, I think on Flickr, I made a video about it. He put all the different combinations. It doesn't have to be, I get the light green. Yeah, it could be.
No, you keep the Cali green. Here. You want my like modern iteration of what should be the Rainbow Warriors uniforms?
Correct.
Here you go. If you will imagine, listener, and German, because you're two now. Okay? If you will imagine. White pants with the rainbow stripe like how they had. Okay. Along with the Kelly green.
And the awesome gloves.
And the awesome gloves. So that part of the uniform stays the same. Now the helmet stays white.
Yes.
You have the current H logo.
Yes.
You have the current H logo, not in the dark green that they have, but in some combination of Kelly green with...
Maybe like a black outline perhaps?
Yeah, with a black outline. So a lighter green with a black outline, you could keep that same.
You keep that H. H is, I like that H logo there.
Yeah, H is awesome. And you would modernize and go back to the old.
And it also, you could have a million combinations.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You could go dark. You could have a green, like I said, that Kelly green top. You can go dark, black. Let's look at Boise State, Oregon, all those teams. You can have all, Wyoming, have all sorts of different combinations that they do and still keep the Rainbow Warrior thing.
The rainbow.
So, yeah. They got to have a way to keep that in there. So we'll see how that goes. But we're done with the games. Let's move on to the important stuff or the fun stuff.
Yay, bowl games. How many minutes are we approaching right now?
Oh, right now. We are actually cruising at 40 minutes.
Nice. Okay.
So right now we have, let's see the bowl eligible team. Let me pull up the standings here. We have, I think I'm assuming we should get 7 bowl teams. Does that sound correct to you if we get Fresno to the BCS?
7. Yeah, we could have 7 bowl teams.
Because right now, as
unless Fresno State loses to Boise State.
Yeah, that's what you would prefer. Of course, I click on the basketball standings.
As a fan, I would prefer that.
But also like to see Fresno State versus Texas A&M, Fresno State versus Auburn, or Fresno State versus Baylor.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Right now, there are 5 bowl eligible teams. We're assuming if UNLV and San Jose State win one game, then we'll have 7 bowl teams. And if Fresno goes to BCS game, then we'll fulfill our obligation of 6 bowl games plus the BCS, yes. Which is the most bowl games ever. 6 would be the most bowl games over, and a good extra chunk of money as well to pay for those TV bonuses and everything.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, should we just start with the BCS numbers?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or should we really quick go back and discuss Northern Illinois Ball State as we do this?
Northern Illinois, Ball State was actually beating Northern Illinois for most of this game, and then Northern Illinois decided to wake up and just destroy.
Well, they had a pick Ball 6. State. Yeah, it was a blowout, but it was closer than what people thought. There were 2 touchdowns in 2 minutes, really.
Yeah.
They went down to go up by 14 with a Jordan Lynch touchdown run, which, 14 points, a good win. Then there was a pick 6 to go up by 21. That's how the game ended, and Ball State is no longer a one-loss team. However, in the BCS, Fresno State dropped a spot, despite being on a bye, as did Northern Illinois. They're still 15-16.
But they're still significantly ahead of Northern Illinois.
Oh, yeah. They saw it's .413 to .372, which is huge. They still have, even though, I don't know, I don't get how Fresno dropped in the polls, but they dropped in the polls as well.
They stayed the same in Harris.
Oh, you're correct. Sorry. They stayed the same in Harris. Coach's poll, they dropped 2 because UCLA went ahead of them, and I don't get Michigan State's big jump there. And the computer ranking, Fresno's... Oh, I should have looked at last week. So are they gaining ground on the computer ranking still?
Northern Illinois?
Yeah.
That's about the same from last week.
I think I'll pull up in a second here. But I don't get how... New Michigan State beat Nebraska. It wasn't like a huge convincing win. But I figured a 9-1 ball... I figured Ball State would have... Or not Ball State. Northern Illinois beating a one-loss Ball State team would have improved... Get them closer to Fresno State. but
yeah, I thought so it would have too. And as I'm looking at the BCS rankings right now from last week,
yeah, I got it here too. They stayed the same. Fresno dropped.
No, 0.8 to 0.4. So they moved up by 50%.
Yeah, they moved up. Yeah, 0.48 to 0.52. Fresno dropped.
It's still a lot further than I would have expected.
But also, when you look at the coaches poll, it goes by points, not placing. Even though Fresno dropped, they still gained two more points in the poll from last week.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's okay, you did drop, but you gained more ground as well. You moved up. I just kind of thought NIU, by having a, whoever watched the game, a blowout, would have made up more ground, which they made up a little bit, but because Boise's numbers dropped from, they dropped two hundredths of a point.
Okay, so look at the BCS here.
Yes, I'm looking here.
What is your biggest surprise?
Michigan State moving up three spots for a win over a mediocre Nebraska team.
Okay.
That is also, well, I know where you're going with it, which why I didn't say it. It's Ohio State Baylor.
Correct? No, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, Ohio State Baylor, that's extremely close.
What should I admit? What am I missing here then?
I think you should look down at number 25.
Oh. Seven-time pre-World War II national title Minnesota Golden Gophers?
Yeah, I want to know when the last time Minnesota was ranked in the BCS.
What about Ole Miss? They haven't been ranked in a long time either.
Ole Miss has not, but I'm pretty sure they've been ranked in the BCS before Minnesota was. I can't even remember the last time. Like, I honestly...
Probably never,
yeah. You're right, yeah. Now, I'm sure our friends at the Goldie Report are completely disagreeing with us.
I'm trying to find out here, but I'm sure they may have it in a press release or something on their website, which we'll find out momentarily, but... So, as for the bowl game, okay, I actually made bowl predictions this time as end of the season goes. So, wait, first off, I think even though Michigan State made the jump and UCF snuck by Temple, which needed a Hail Mary, a deep touchdown, or deep pass to get the touchdown range and score, it's safe to say Fresno and or Northern Illinois will remain ahead of the AAC champion.
I'm fairly confident. Because
people are saying if UCF wins out, they'll pass.
Who does Central Florida have left?
That's what I'm looking. They're 8-1. They've beat Louisville. Yeah, they beat Louisville. They still have Rutgers.
They beat
Houston. They stuck by
Rutgers,
Houston.
South Florida and SMU.
Rutgers
is...
They can score points.
They can score points, but they have not turned out to be the team that we thought they were.
Because if you look at the records really quick, Rutgers is 5-4. SMU is 4-5. And South Florida is crappy 2-7.
No, there's no way they're jumping.
That's what people say. I'm like, I don't understand where people got that. Yes, I get Fresno, but they'll get to play. Just going to AAC, even Northern Illinois gets a title game against a good opponent. They still play Toledo. I don't think there's any way. Even if somehow they lose and Louisville goes undefeated. Louisville is ranked ahead of Fresno State. Are they ahead of Fresno State? Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong poll here. They are one spot ahead of Fresno State in the coaches poll, but they're six spots below in the BCS. And they're getting a 0.01 computer ranking. So even if somehow UCF loses and Louisville wins out, I don't think there's a chance either. They already played Houston and UCF.
It doesn't help that the last two games, Houston, they only beat Houston by 5 in a low-scoring affair, and they had to go to, they beat Temple with 2 seconds left. Temple was winning the whole game. Oh, by the way, this was a 1-9, 1-8 Temple who lost to Idaho. Idaho.
Yes.
You lost to effing Idaho, and Temple nearly pulled out the win versus Central Florida.
Yes, but people counter that on as we read the comments. Fresno barely beat a bad Hawaii team.
Yeah, but Fresno did not lose to Idaho.
Not here. Come back to that. Central Florida.
Fresno beat Idaho, blew them out. Actually,
yeah, blew them out 68-10 or something like that.
Temple lost to Idaho.
Yeah, but
Fresno State was up by 42.
But did you know 3 years ago Central Florida almost beat a Georgia team who didn't want to be in the Liberty Bowl?
UCF, UCF was losing the whole game to Temple. It's not like Fresno State was losing the whole game to Hawaii.
Correct.
UCF was losing the whole game.
Fresno State was winning the whole game versus Hawaii, and Hawaii came back, which still Fresno should have shut him out. There was some reffing indiscrepancy there during the second half. But still, it's a bad – teams have bad – it's like I said before, the both these teams crapping on each other. Your neither schedule is very good. So get over yourself for every fan involved, right?
I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Okay? If Fresno loses, Northern Illinois is still going to get the BCS bid.
Regardless.
As long as Northern Illinois wins out. And they deserve it.
Who? Central Florida?
No.
Oh. Northern Illinois. No. Yeah, they're good.
They're good. That Northern Illinois versus Fresno State game, that would be a killer game to go to. And I'm fairly confident that Northern Illinois would beat Fresno.
Ooh. Fighting.
Just like how I'm kind of convinced right now that Boise State could beat Fresno.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes. As for who would Fresno... As for... Let's just kind of... Okay, I got my bowl projections. I did them early. Here's who I projected in the BCS. I had Baylor number 3, but that'll turn out when they beat Oklahoma State. But here's who I have. Title game, I think we agree. Alabama, Florida State, correct?
Yep.
No.
Florida State, Baylor.
Alabama's going to lose to Auburn?
Yes.
You say not convincing, you're like, oh,
I'm just saying it's just to troll Alabama fans right now. And I really don't want to see an SEC person in the championship game.
All right.
No, most likely it's going to be Alabama, Florida State. Go ahead. Okay. Continue.
And then I got next, if we go by the selection, Rose Bowl will get next because they can pick their two traditional teams for the 100th Rose Bowl. Oregon, Ohio State.
Yes.
Oregon would beat the crap out of Ohio State. Enough said. And then we go to the replacement picks. Orange Bowl, I think we're both in agreement. They'll pick Clemson, correct?
Yes.
To replace Florida State.
There's nobody else. They're beating only Clemson.
Well, they could, but they want to keep it. They want to keep in-house. Next would be Sugar Bowl. They're going to take an SEC team. I went ahead and I was projecting week by week, but I went ahead and looked at kind of who's going where. I'm going with Texas A&M in the Sugar Bowl.
Because
I'm assuming they'll beat LSU this weekend, and they'll beat TCU on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, but it's not Auburn.
Or no, not TCU, sorry, not TCU, so wait, hold on. I'm thinking Texas Tech TCU. Wait, what do you mean not Auburn?
So you're going Texas A&M over Auburn?
Because Auburn's going to lose to Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah. And A&M's going to beat, because if you look at Tech, A&M has LSU, and it's at home, I believe, if I'm correct. Let me get their schedule now. But I think they'll beat LSU, because LSU is, they're good, but I think A&M can beat them. It is at LSU because they already destroyed Kyle Field already. Because here's what A&M has a number 22 ranked LSU, and then they have at number 8 Missouri, and I'm still not buying Missouri. I don't care. A&M's going to finish the season 10-2, and that means you're going to pass Missouri and pass Auburn, and the SEC or Sugar Bowl will want to keep it. Same thing with the Orange Bowl, keep their SEC team in house, and that's where I come with Texas A&M.
I think it's either going to be A&M or Missouri. One of the two.
So you think Missouri is going to beat A&M then? I guess it comes out of that game, most likely.
Yeah.
Or Missouri, but like, here's the other reason why I think it could be Texas A&M. Even if Texas A&M loses to Missouri and Missouri goes to the title game, they're going to lose to Alabama, and the BCS usually doesn't want to take title game losers.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's SEC title game.
True. But it's also Missouri, not near New Orleans.
True.
It's not like you're taking LSU, who lost in title game to Florida.
No, I get it.
So who's your pick then? You pick Missouri?
No, I'll go either Texas A&M or Auburn.
Okay, gotcha. All right, and so Orange Bowl gets the next pick. I go Stanford. Because kind of same reason. Teams ahead will lose them. People say ticket sales, but I think it's BS. They have a Clemson team nearby. I don't buy Michigan State getting high in... Well, maybe I should, but... Michigan State getting high enough to warrant an at-large berth. Do you agree, disagree, do you care?
I'm thinking. You know what? I'm going to do something a little bit different.
Oh.
I think...
And another quick reason why no Michigan State, they're going to probably play Ohio State and lose that title game.
Yeah, I think Jason Kirk's on the right track here. I think it's going to be Wisconsin.
How? They're so low. They're going to... Is Wisconsin played Michigan? Let me see here. Have they played Michigan State yet? Or do they play Michigan State?
No, I don't think so.
They got Minnesota and Penn State. I don't see how they can get high enough. What are they, number 24 in the BCS right now? They are... No, they're 19. I get the travel deal, but I don't think they'll get high enough. They got to be 14.
14?
Yeah, can they get to 14 by beating Penn State and...
They got to get to 14. You know what? Okay, here's the second option. Oklahoma State.
You're going to lose to Baylor, though.
Oh, yeah.
See where I'm coming? Stanford makes sense. Plus, it's two top 10 matchups. Stanford will climb up to probably number 7. Clemson could be five.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
That's why I'm going to Stanford. Ticket sales, I don't care. They'll be fine. And Stanford, I admit, they won't travel.
Stanford was in the Orange Bowl last year, and they were fine.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that was Florida State, Northern Illinois, a couple years ago.
Sorry, a couple years ago.
But then we got the next pick. Here's the order. Next order. Orange Bowl gets the pick. Sugar, then Fiesta. Everybody knows I'm leaning out Mountain West or non-BCS 2 Sugar Bowl. So I'm going A&M Fresno State. And I think Fresno State would light up that A&M defense.
Yeah, but could Fresno State's defense stop Johnny Manziel?
Louisiana Tech didn't need that, and they could have and should have beaten Texas A&M last year. It's a bowl game, man. Who cares? You need to win by 1 point or more.
Right.
So who would you go with? So Central Florida or Fresno State? Or are you going to go Northern Illinois and say they're going to lose? Boise's going to take out the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I'm confused now.
My reason for Fresno, because I think Fresno's a better named team. I think they are nationally. Just because they're pretty good last year. They're good this year. Derek Carr put up a ton of numbers. And I know the Fiesta Bowl would want Fresno State instead, but ticket sales, again, don't matter. A&M will sell it out. It's like a four-hour drive from New Orleans to Houston.
I think once you pick Texas A&M, yeah, the whole ticket sales thing goes out.
Any SEC team outside of Missouri. And even then, they probably will bring a lot of people.
I'm going to go, you know what? I'll go with you. I'll go Fresno State, Texas A&M.
And then Central Florida, Baylor?
Yeah.
Do you have Baylor winning the Big 12?
Because I think the ACC has garnered a lot of disrespect this year.
Not that the Mountain West has done great. It's kind of top-heavy for a few teams, but that's kind of what we got there. As for the Mountain West Bowl games, I think we're hoping there are no there's a possibility Notre Dame could be in the Poinsettia Bowl because the tie-in isn't Army or
Could you imagine the arrogant fan of Notre Dame versus Boise State?
Ooh. I assume you would be going to that game.
Just picture Bronco Country versus Notre Dame Nation.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
The trolling would be fantastic.
With Tommy Turnover?
You know what? I would. If the Poinsettia gets Notre Dame, they might try and convince Las Vegas, Vegas Bowl to pass over Boise State so they can get.
To take Utah State, maybe?
Yeah.
So you'd want to see a Boise. I could see the Vegas Bowl wanting Utah State. Because it's still reasonable.
It totally makes sense.
Not too far of a drive, really. Because here's
Boise State fans travel.
Yeah, and
there's enough bandwagoners that they'll go head out.
Because here's the thing: Army's not eligible. Army is here's the lineup: it's Mountain West 2 versus Army if eligible or at large. So it's going to be an at large team. So it's not Army. So it could be Notre Dame. It could be another MAC team. It could be a Sun Belt team. Hoping not. I'm just saying I'd like to see. If Notre Dame only goes 7-5, that'd be nice. If we could see, I think I'd want to see. I would like to see any Mountain West team versus Notre Dame, like any team that puts up a lot of points. Notre Dame.
What about Boise State versus Ball State?
That'd be nice. That and could
the happen. MAC, the MAC champion will, or the MAC second place team will go to Poinsettia.
I could see that because right now Notre Dame is 7-3. Really quick, just to wrap this up. They got BYU this weekend, which I could see going either way. And then they go to Stanford, they're going to lose that. So if they go, if they lose their last two games, I could see them possibly trying to get out west. Or at least a bowl. But if they win eight games, I don't think that's going to happen.
All right,
we're done with the show. We're going to end right now. Hard finish. Show's over. Got everything done. Four games. We still took an hour to discuss the bowl stuff, which is shaping roundly into place. We will hopefully have a show this week. Is that our plan at the moment?
Yes.
Are you going to be free this week?
I hope.
And am I not going to feel be sick this week?
Yeah, really what it is you didn't bother finding, you know.
No, I could have had, I emailed Matt Sunday last week. He could have come on. For some reason, on Thursday, I felt like crap. I felt very tired.
Matt, he's throwing you under the bus.
No. He knows. I emailed him. No, I emailed him about 45 minutes later. I emailed him back. Said, dude, I'm just exhausted. I don't know why I'm tired. I kind of stayed up to watch that San Diego State-Arizona basketball game, but nodded off throughout it. I just, something hit me. I felt kind of bad for a day and a half. And then Friday, you were traveling. You said you were going to do it over the phone, but you never committed to that. So I'm throwing it right back at you.
Anyway, thanks.
We'll get something in the show here, but thanks for listening. Again, check us out, mwcconnection.com. Hoop stuff, a lot of bowl stuff coming up pretty soon, college football. You know what we do. You know what our deal is, right?
Totally.
Correct. Find us.
It's going to be one of those things. So this is going to be one of those things. It's just like, so many things to focus. You've got some good Mountain West basketball matchups going on right now, but our main focus is football, and there's other stuff. And
if you like Colorado State women volleyball, still undefeated.
Hey, yes.
Yes, just throw that out there.
Oh.
But that's our show for tonight. So, yeah, check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and, yeah, we'll talk to everybody on the next show.